Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, so who have you forgiven lately? Is it on your mind? You think you need to? Do people deserve it? What is that about? So we have a lot to talk about forgiveness. And to help us do that is an author who's back on the show. She has a great book called Seven Lessons for Living from the Dying, How to Nurture What Really Matters, and including forgiveness. So welcome back to Energy Stew, Dr. Karen Wyatt.
Thank you, Peter. I'm so happy to be back here talking to you again.
Well, thank you. And I'm excited because the lack of forgiveness can get in our way, right?
Yes, definitely.
How does it get in our way?
Well, I feel like when we're not able to forgive, it really keeps us tied to the past, for one thing, because oftentimes we're holding on to memories of things that have happened in the past, and it takes a lot of our life energy, really, to keep these old memories alive. But one thing I've come to recognize is that forgiveness is really essential for spiritual growth. I really think that for us to fully awaken and transcend, forgiveness is essential. And until we learn how to do it or why to do it, I think our growth gets slowed down, our spiritual growth, in many ways.
Maybe what it is it doesn't leave us in peace if we're holding on to resentments and grudges. And with that lack of peace, we can't raise our vibrations enough.
It's true. And if you think about it, the mind continually nurtures our grievances. You know, they're always simmering in the background somewhere. And a lot of people, and myself included, I used to think of it as I have a book of grievances. I can pull my book out at any time and read you. I could read it to you, all of the memories I have, all the things that happened that people did that hurt me or offended me. And it takes a lot of energy to keep that book to maintain it.
The list. I had a revelation recently that allowed me to forgive a lot of people. And that was to recognize that I'm born to different shadows, patterns in my life of harm that I keep bumping into. We all have different ways, different things in life we're not good at, or that we don't understand why certain people, you know, don't behave nicely to us. And there might be many reasons for it that aren't really our fault. It's just that it's the energies that are at play with these patterns. And so I learned that so many people were attracted to a certain pattern in me that they didn't like and would harm me for it. And it was nothing I could do anything about. I always think I'm doing my best and friendly and all. But perhaps it's my personality, my type of the way I am. And people say, oh, that's not for me. And this guy, you know, I don't like him. And once I saw that these people are actually serving this shadow pattern that my soul has been born with, that is there for my lessons, for me to grow from. And these people really, it was such a continuity of patterns among these people that I couldn't single out any particular reason to blame them other than they didn't know what they were doing. Because there were times I would say to people, do you know what you say you're my friend, do you know how you just harmed me? And oh my gosh, yes, and I don't know why. You know, it's like, well, I know why. You know, your soul needed to support my soul growth and slam me. So, and then I would get apologies and things like that from people. But just to recognize that people are unconscious often about mm-hmm. how they recognize you, what they see and like and not like in you, that they're not really in control of.
And I love what you were saying about seeing the pattern in it, because I had a realization like that at one point too. If I looked back at various encounters and experiences I had, there was a similarity or a common thread that ran through everything. And suddenly I began to see, oh, that thread is me. That thread is inside of me. I'm being shown this over and over, like from different people, different situations, different perspectives, but I'm looking at the same issue over and over. And it's all to give me a chance to heal something inside of me, part of my own shadow or something, some part of me.
Or to learn forgiveness.
Yeah, or exactly, yeah.
I was just thinking that one of the ways that people are offended by me is that I'm different. I'm an intuitive, I'm spiritual, and kind of out of the box in ways that a lot of people resent and respond to that. And so they can't help it. It's just their nature.
Yeah, I think that's something I realized too, as on the spiritual journey, that sometimes we actually end up getting rejected for being our better selves. It's actually the highest part of ourselves that sometimes gets rejected by other people. And it's so painful, but I think it strengthens us in a way to realize I have to be me. I have to be who I am.
Right, right. You're not going to change because of it. So now let's look on a larger scale of like racially, religious, all that, that there are large groups of people who hate each other. And how do we forgive that?
Well, I think that's a big subject, you know, to go from talking about like personal forgiveness, like for my own life and how do I forgive? And then how do we collectively, communally forgive one another it's a really big step to think about how could we bring a large group of people to have this same understanding that sometimes the things that happen in life, I mean, there are no guarantees. We're not entitled necessarily to have an easy, carefree life or to have a life where things don't go wrong or we don't get hurt. And so to bring people to the point of deciding, I'm not going to blame other people for what has unfolded in my life. But we're at a place, you and I were talking about before, where all of the divisions between us have been magnified right now. There's just so much polarization in our society and, so it's almost as if we've stretched it as tightly as we can go, the divisions, and we're near the breaking point in a way.
Right.
And so it's a big opportunity to start to learn how do we forgive and can we see the past as part of what brought us where we are right now. Whatever has happened in the past has shaped us all and brought us here to where we are right now. And we can't change the past, but we can change how we look at the past.
Right, and one way to understand it is what we were talking about before, about having these patterns in our lives, in our society, that have been there for thousands of years of religious strife and politics and all of that. And I think it's really due to a human limitation that we are, as humans, have a very limited brain. And I see that in people who I get into some discussions with about politics, and I see that they can't hear me in the slightest. Their brains just can't wrap themselves around any other ideas but their own. And they think I'm the same way. There's an impasse here, and where is that impasse leading? And it's, as you said, we're reaching a breaking point because the toxicity of these impasses are so high that we have to refigure this, reframe it, mm-hmm. and somehow that we're not, maybe not yet capable of.
And when we remember that we're spirits, we're spiritual beings that have come into this physical body with emotions and a mind and an ego, that our souls, our spiritual nature is trying to deal with having this mind and ego to operate through. And the ego is very limited in its options for how it reacts to other people.
But it's survival.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's primitive. It's here to help us survive. And the ego always wants to blame someone else, can never admit to doing anything wrong. But the more we are led or driven really by our egos, the less we'll be able to forgive, because the ego can't see any sense to forgiveness whatsoever, because someone did wrong to me, they were at fault, and they should be punished for it. That's the only way the ego can possibly see it. But our higher consciousness knows there's something so much bigger going on here. You know, there's so much more at play. As you were saying, it's our soul lessons and our contract and what we're here to learn about. And these experiences happen to us to give us fuel to grow from. And so it isn't as simply black and white or good and bad, or as it appears to the ego, or as the ego wants to make it out to be.
Right. And so much has to do, I'm coming back to not just the ego, but just being a human in the current limitations of the human experience and human consciousness, which is expanding. And that's our real opportunity. And the reason why we're reaching a breaking point, because I think things have to be that extreme in order for us to take new measure.
Yeah. Yes. I think you're exactly right. Everything has to be exposed before we can really look at it and heal it. And we're in that process right now of exposing all the painful shadows that we have to look at. And so it feels pretty desperate in some ways as all these things are being shown to us. But now we're finally in a place where we can make progress and can heal.
Well, we hope so.
Yes.
I think in some ways it's getting harder right now, because we're getting to a point where there are too many fires burning in the world, and we don't know whether they have to burn stronger before they burn out, or we can start managing them better. I'm just thinking of California and perhaps thousands of wildfires they've had there this summer, and how overwhelming that is. And, you know, and that, and I'm just using that as a metaphor for our own lives.
It really is. It's like literally everything's on fire around us, and we don't even have the resources to put out all the fires that are going on. So we're having to figure out how do we navigate this time.
But I think just for the people who are listening to us, it is an opportunity to hold the larger picture of human frailty. And I think even on a personal level, when we try to forgive individuals around us who have harmed us, and we have blame and resentment and all that, it's very hard to forgive people at the level of third dimensional harm.
Yes.
You know, because for one thing, that, you know, our survival, our ego is saying, well, if I forgive these people, I'll have my guard will be down and they'll hurt me again.
Exactly. And that's probably actually what the ego should think. I mean, that's probably how our egos should operate, because that's what they're here for. It's this survival mechanism and protection. If forgiveness means that somehow we don't stay cautious, or somehow we don't keep our distance from people who are dangerous to us or toxic to us, you know.
Right.
And on the ego's, from the ego's perspective, it's understandable why the ego would want to be cautious about forgiveness.
Sure. So we can't forgive people at the level of their ability to harm us again.
Yes.
And that could be anybody. And so then how do we, let's say, forgive our enemies?
Yeah, for me, I spent a lot of time in my hospice work sitting at the bedsides of people who were working on forgiveness. So observing what they went through as they were working toward forgiveness. And then and at the same time, trying to practice it myself and working on forgiveness myself. And so I could see it happening at different levels. I could see people making progress. And I can just tell you a story if you want of one patient who that was actually my friend, Mary Lou, who she had a book of grievances about her older sister who had been mean to her all of her life. And she had a lot of stories about terrible things her sister had said and done to her. And when Mary Lou knew she was going to die, she knew, I need to forgive my sister. And so she realized her sister had been diagnosed with a mental illness. She understood her sister's behavior came from that mental illness. And that's how she gradually found compassion for her sister, is realizing she couldn't really help it. She couldn't help some of the things she did and said. So she started working on that, trying to find compassion and empathy for her sister and why she might have done the things that she did. But I watched her progress as she worked on this and gradually started letting go of some of those grievances and and she would always say, I forgive my sister, even though she did terrible things to me. She would still talk about the terrible things her sister did, but she would begin to say, but I forgive her. She had a mental illness. She couldn't help it. But about a week before Mary Lou died, I visited her for the last time, and she said, I had the most amazing revelation. And she said, I thought I had forgiven my sister before, but she said, what I saw was that my sister was the perfect person for me in my life, that my sister taught me some of the greatest lessons I ever learned, and she was the perfect person to be in my life. And that she said, I don't want to tell her I forgive you. I want to tell her I love you. I love you so much, and you're the perfect person that for me to have grown up with and to have in my life. So it's almost as if she transcended the need to even forgive, and she got to this place of really just pure love and acceptance for her sister, whoever she was, and then saw that her sister had been a great help to her, in fact, through her behavior and through the experiences she's had.
That's wonderful.
Things she learned. So anyway, that was profound for me to see that there are stages and steps we go through in this process of forgiveness. But I think you mentioned maybe before we started recording about the idea that some of us have soul contracts together.
Yes, and for that reason of discovery of soul growth. And I'm just thinking of my previous wives, or even my current wife, who we're very happily married. We've been together 40 years, and so we have a soul contract there of success. But so we have all these contracts with different people to, you know, operate at different levels of our needs. And so to understand that, there's a very broad panoply of people who have different purposes in our lives.
And yeah, exactly. And if that's really powerful, when you start to recognize that and you start seeing how interactions that were hurtful and felt terrible at the time may have in some way or another helped you and helped you grow, and you can start to just let go of not needing to hold on to resentment or bitterness about those experiences.
Let me just interrupt for a second. There's some bracelet or something on your desk that's clicking away while we're talking. I can't imagine what it is, but the audience might have been listening to it and just want to.
Can you hear it now?
No.
Okay, it might have been my necklace that was out. the microphone hidden.
Oh, right. That's interesting. So I forgive you.
Oh, thank you. I hope it doesn't come back.
But that's the point, is to really process the different people that we have trouble with and understand their motives or their limitations and what set them going that's not personal. You know, it could be tribal. They could be responding to their tribal consciousness and thinking of, you being from a different tribe, and therefore you're an enemy.
Exactly. Yeah, which goes all the way back to our primitive brains and the primitive ego needing to protect us and keep us safe.
Right. And so it's really interesting that we can look at others and see how their egos are trying to keep them safe by behaving in ways that we don't like.
Yes, exactly. And then another realization I had too is that I have my own filter for everything that I see and perceive about other people's behavior toward me.
Sure.
It has to come to me through my filter. Sometimes my filter is the one that's wounded.
We're all humans.
And that when I hear someone say something, I may hear it differently than they intended just because of my wounds that I'm carrying and how I process and filter what.
Sure, our parents have conditioned us, and other people in our early lives have conditioned us in ways that we didn't have power then. And so we can be overpowered by people who have the similar patterns as those people, those authority figures who we grew up with.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And we may not even realize that we carry those wounded filters around with us, or dirty filters, whatever, however you want to think of that.
It brings out our insecurities, and then we react in ways that often can be limited.
Yeah.
Which is what can limit our ability to forgive. So we come back to that forgiveness is a very hard thing to do correctly. You know, you can do it in some ways that can create a truce or a ceasefire, as you talk about in your book, but that's not really what we want. We really want to forgive at a level of understanding the process of being human or inhuman due to our human limitations, and forgive people at that level that they're only limited by consciousness, and their consciousness can't see beyond their troubles and their angers and their prejudices.
Exactly. And I think we have to always create a certain bit of doubt about the other person's behavior. We don't really know what motivates them or why they do what they do or say what they say. We don't really know what's happening inside of them. And possibly they didn't mean to harm us. Possibly they weren't thinking that they hate us and they're saying something awful to us. Possibly they're completely oblivious to it and had no idea what they were doing.
Or it's just not personal.
Yes, exactly.
That's the biggest thing. And so that's where we, we're into all these tribal and collective mentalities now that are going on in our planet that are creating such strife, Black Lives Matter and so many ways that our society is not functioning in a helpful way.
Yes.
And I think the Black Lives Matter is an honorable response to the way that Black people are harmed by these cultural limitations.
Exactly. And that, I think that brings up a good point, that we don't want to tout forgiveness as an excuse for looking at injustice and rooting it out where it needs to be
right.
dealt with. And so so in that movement in particular, we're not at all saying you should just forgive people for what's happening.
No, we have to stop it.
No, we're saying we need to change this behavior at every level and wherever it exists, because it's been hurtful and harmful and it's been hidden in the shadow.
Right, but to see from that bigger vantage point of these cultural divides that are beyond our individual consciousness, you know, that people are just reacting because they're part of a culture that has become angry for some reason, one side and the other, and need to find some way of managing it better, you know, and rooting out the people who can't be helped and will create more and more pain.
Yeah, that's very true. And recognizing some people are going to always operate from lower consciousness, and we can't necessarily move them along or change that for them, but we can make sure then that they're not people in positions of authority who have the means of harming other people.
Right. So this has been a great show. We're really near the end of it. And, I think that we've really covered so much of understanding our need to see things from a higher perspective of patterns and soul growth and the evolution of our consciousness to comprehend things better and do a better job.
Yes. It's all pretty fascinating when you look at it and look at these opportunities we have to grow and learn.
Right. So Dr. Karen Wyatt, the author of 7 Lessons for Living from the Dying. Is there a website?
Yes, they can go to eoluniversity.com. That stands for End of Life University, eoluniversity.com.
That's great. And thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew again.
Thank you for having me back.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.